Speak a little more of that wonderful Jesus. Let us turn to the third chapter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3. Let's begin with verse 15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or manner of life in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. I want to speak this morning on the deceiver, the imposter. That is the essence of what we read here in verse 18. Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. That same truth is expressed in various ways in the scripture. Romans 8, we read that Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh. We read also, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. Isaiah says, God laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of this is because that Jesus took on an identity that was not his own. We'll see more of that as we get on into this message. But I want to see here in verse 18 again that there is a purpose for all of this. He was put to death in the flesh, or rather, well, he was, the first part of that verse, he has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. And then the little word that. This is the purpose for which Jesus did what he did. First off, that he might bring us to God. He had to identify with us, did identify with us, in order to bring us to God. And then Peter singles out another incident here, talking about those of Noah's day. And at the first, they did not believe that preacher of foolishness, so to speak, that it was going to rain. However, it seems when those rains began to fall, they understood that that old fool knew what he was talking about, and they believed. They did not spare their physical lives, but their spirits, those who believed on Jesus, went to Upper Sheol. It's called Abraham's bosom, or paradise in some places. But it simply means the abode of the righteous dead. After Jesus' spirit left his body, that's exactly where it went. Went down to Upper Sheol, which was in the heart of the earth at that time. And so as we read here, that is when Jesus preached to those spirits in prison. That's the prison he's talking about. We read in another place that he led captivity captive, referring to the same time, referring to the same place. Jesus took all of those captive spirits in Upper Sheol, or in paradise, back to heaven with him. And so that's the preaching that we are talking about here. We very well know those Old Testament believers, those Old Testament overcomers. That's where they were. And again, Jesus took them all back to heaven with himself. All of these results, these wonderful things, this is the preaching that Jesus did when he was there, letting them know that indeed he had assumed the identity of another. He had paid the price for all of the sin and unrighteousness that had occurred down through the ages. And now it is because of that that they indeed are free. This truth of Jesus being an imposter, the truth of him inserting himself as another, taking another identity, that is beautifully depicted in the Old Testament by a very controversial incident or narrative. Let us go back to the 27th chapter of Genesis. This is the record of Rebekah and Jacob. And they are greatly maligned by many by what they did in these verses. Genesis 27, let's go to verse 22. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." As I noted, there are many who have criticized Rebekah and Jacob for what they did. Some, of course, accusing Jacob of stealing something that did not belong to him. That absolutely is not the truth. If you go down to verse 36 of this chapter, we find out that Esau said this: "Is he not rightly named Jacob? He supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he's taken away my blessing." Both of those are lies. Jacob didn't take anything that did not belong to him. And so it is vitally important that we put these words in absolute context with the way that they are written, with the reason that they are written. Let's go back to the 25th chapter of this book of Genesis. Go down to verse 29. "And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same pottage.'" A good rendering of that has been used: "Feed that red, or this red, with that red," making a play on his name. And so, as he says here, "I pray you'll feed me with that same pottage. I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom, or red. And Jacob said, "Fine." Notice three very distinct words and very meaningful words in these verses. He said to him, as we read here in verse 31, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Verse 32, "Esau said, 'Behold, I'm at the point to die. What good shall this birthright do to me?'" Verse 33, "Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob." Verse 34, "Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentil. He did eat and drink and rose up, went his way." Last part, "Thus Esau despised his birthright." And that is a very strong word, because it means he disdained his birthright. He scorned his birthright. He did not value the great blessing this was, that he had been born first. It entitled him to the greatest of the blessings that God had to offer. And yet he spurned all of that, scorned it, disdained it. So let us understand, for the record is very clear. Yes, Jacob was an imposter. We'll see more of that here in just a moment. But he was not a thief. Esau willingly sold that birthright for a price, and the price was simply a bowl of soup. I want to notice before we go on here that there is no record that God ever reprimanded Rebekah or Jacob. We do read that God said, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." If you go on into the 28th chapter, we find that God personally appeared to Jacob, and he confirmed the Abrahamic covenant to him in a dream, with the ladder reaching from the earth up to the heaven. Then, insofar as Rebekah is concerned, if you read chapter 27, 41, Esau said in his heart, "I will slay my brother Jacob." The next verse says this: these words, this threat that Esau had made, these words of Esau were told to Rebekah. If Esau said them in his heart, there's only one that would have known what they were, and that is God, who reads the hearts. It was God who told Rebekah what was going to happen. She acted immediately in order to see to it that Jacob was sent away and avoided out of his brother's murderous presence. And so I want to notice some things about this verse here, or these verses, this scenario with Jacob and Esau, because it is a beautiful picture of the two Adams. Esau is a picture of the first Adam. Jacob is a picture of the second Adam, even of Christ. And so you'll notice here that the same thing is true with the two Adams as it was here, as Esau said it was with him. Jacob was an opportunist. There is no two ways about that, but there is nothing wrong with such as that. Jacob was interested in the things of God. He wanted these choice blessings, and he was willing to do whatever it took in order to obtain them. And so again, I repeat, he stole nothing from Esau. Esau willingly sold his birthright unto Jacob. But you will notice in verse 32, Esau said, I am at the point to die. That's exactly the same condition and position of the first Adam. God said in the very beginning, there in the Garden of Eden, in the day that thou eatest thereof, that is of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. And they did that. And so the first Adam was indeed under the sentence of death. And then we find that Jacob stepped on the scene. He offered, since Esau, you're in this condition, sell me your birthright. Same thing is true of the Lord Jesus, the second Adam. He bought all of the rights of the first Adam with the red pottage or with the blood of Jesus. Jesus bought all of that with his own blood, which he shed there on the cross of Calvary. But you see, now we come to the inheritance. Now we come to the blessing. And this is where that Jacob became an impostor. I want to notice that many Christians are like Esau today. They have the birthright. It was the new birth that gave every Christian the birthright. When we are born again, we have a right to all of the choicest blessings of God. But all believers do not do that. All believers do not take the steps to lay hold of that birthright, to lay hold of that promise, to lay hold of those blessings the way that Jacob did. And so it is also again the way that Jesus did. Again, he bought the birthright, the rights of Adam the first, with his blood there on, as he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. But Jesus also, in order to obtain the blessing, Jesus also followed exactly the same pattern and plan that Jacob did. As we read here, Jacob had been asked, are you my very son Esau? And he said, in verse 24, Genesis 27, 24, he said, art thou my very son Esau? He said, I am. This is exactly what Jesus said. In essence, like Jacob, Jesus was an impostor. He was, in essence, saying, I am Esau. I am Adam. As we see in the scripture, already noted, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Peter said, he's the just for the unjust. Jesus simply impersonated Adam at this point, insofar as God is concerned. I want to notice that the purpose of this deception, once again, is directly for the blessing. Chapter 27, let's go to verse 6. Rebekah spoke unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Rebekah overheard that, and indeed she did something about it. Verse 15. Verse 15, Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son. I want to notice that this is exactly what happened where Jesus was concerned. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. It says here that Rebekah took goodly raiment. Sure, she took the very best of what Esau had to offer, and she put that clothing upon Jacob. We know today that the flesh will dress itself up the very best that it can in order to pass off that it is something good and wonderful, something presentable, something that is worth something. But as we find out, Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh. It is still sinful. The flesh can bring forth nothing that is going to glorify God. But Jesus came in that likeness of sinful flesh. Then we also find here that his hands were a problem. Jacob says, My hands are smooth. Esau's are hairy. No problem. Find that Rebekah simply took some goat skins and she put them on the backs of Jacob's hands, which indeed Isaac felt here in this narrative. And so it is that the hands became as sinful. Now again, Jesus simply came in the likeness of sinful flesh. The reality is that Jesus knew no sin. Peter tells us he did no sin. 1 John, we read, in him is no sin. And yet Jesus put himself forth as being sinful, as having sinful hands, the hands of Esau. Likewise, the neck. Rebekah put the skins of the goats upon his neck. That means that Jesus assumed the place of having a rebellious, stiff-necked attitude of Esau. Jesus came into this world as though indeed he were the perpetrator of all the evil and of everything that had happened, everything of which man was guilty. Jesus said, I'm Esau. I did it. It's me. And of course, that's exactly what Jacob did once again in order to obtain the blessing. Notice here in verse 7 of our chapter. This is Isaac's charge to his son Esau. Bring me venison. Make me savory meat. Why? That I may eat and bless thee. The blessing came only on the basis of sacrifice, only on the basis of the offering. But there is a change here. Skip down to verse 9. Rebekah tells Jacob, Go now to the flock. Fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goat. I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. You see, when Jesus came, he didn't offer the wild venison. He didn't offer that which the flesh would have offered. Jesus offered the lamb. Jesus offered this domestic lamb, which was just laying there, waiting to be taken, waiting to be used. This, of course, depicts Jesus as the Lamb of God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see, that was always in place. Before God ever created anything, Jesus was the Lamb of sacrifice. He was the Lamb who indeed was slain from the foundation of the world. But there came a time when that had to actually be implemented, and that was at the cross of Calvary. And so Jesus actually became that Lamb. When he came into this world in the likeness of sinful flesh, he became that Lamb, that goat, which was going to bear the sins of many. John says it this way. This would be the offering. This would be the Lamb that Jesus would bring to his Father in order that he might attain, in order might he achieve this blessing that we're talking about here. And so we find John says it this way. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Romans 6:6 is so emphatic with this. Our old man. That would be our old man in the person of Christ. He impersonated our old man, took his place. Our old man is crucified with him. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed. That's the only way to get rid of it. Isaiah 53:6 says it this way. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Paul said it this way, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. All of that is in the Lamb that we're talking about, that indeed Jacob brought unto Isaac, or as we say, Jesus brought unto his Father in order that he might accomplish what was needed here in order to gain this great and glorious blessing that God had given. And so, as Peter said, Christ also has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. The impersonator has assumed the place of the unjust, and he has borne the price for it. I want to skip down to let's first of all notice the blessing. This is the blessing that Esau wanted. He sought it carefully with tears, as the scripture said, but he did not retrieve it at all. Verse 28, this is the great blessing that Jacob was looking for. It is the great blessing that every believer has if he will simply lay hold of it. This is just a summation of it. There are different wonderful expressions of it, promises of God throughout the scripture. They are all a part of this blessing that came only from God, and it came only because that Jesus obtained it for us. And so notice verse 28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee. Blessed be he that blesseth thee. And of course, as soon as he had pronounced that blessing, as soon as Jacob was out of the area, skip down to verse 33. Jacob had already been blessed. And so then Esau came in. Verse 33, Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? I have eaten all before thou camest and have blessed him. Notice this last part. Yea, and he shall be blessed. Even though he was the imposter, even though he took a place and insisted, I am Esau. Jesus took a place. I am Adam, who is guilty of all of these things that we have noticed here today. Yet because of the sacrifice, because of the offering. I have taken that offering, yea, and he shall be blessed. It means that the blessing that Jesus bought there on the cross of Calvary, by being the imposter, by offering himself as the first Adam, by being that Lamb of Calvary, he presented all of that. All of this blessing has been bought, and nothing can ever reverse it. Nothing can ever change it. Nothing can ever revoke it. And so we find today that that same blessing, yes, Jesus as the imposter, we can say it like this. This is bought with the blood of Jesus directly because he was an imposter. He identified with us, became one of us in the likeness of sinful flesh in order to obtain the choicest of blessings for us. This is what Jesus, he paid the price in order to do that. But as we come to this communion service once again today, Jesus has, we have seen it over and over again, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Today we are remembering Jesus became the imposter, and he endured all of the suffering because of that. Because Jesus was the imposter, we remember him, that he obtained these glorious blessings for us. Let us sing.